Welcome to the Faith Debate on News Radio 930 WFMD. Appreciate you spending part of your day with us here. You can find us online at WFMD.com, and you can follow us online at householdoffaithinchrist.com. There you'll find all sorts of resources that the church has there for you, sermons and blogs and connections to the Faith Debate and the Decorating Date Night episodes. And if you want to get in touch with David Forsey, you can do that through householdoffaithinchrist.com. In fact, if you want to connect with the ministry of the RASVs, Daniel and Imran are here along with David Forsey. Their ministry connects, there's a link from our church's website to their ministry website, and that website is conqueredbylove.org, Conquered by Love Ministries. They provide resources and training materials for family dynamics, raising children, having good marriages, those sorts of things, and so I'd encourage you to check that out. If you've been listening the last couple of weeks, or if you've heard the last couple of podcasts, and if you're a podcaster rather than a radio listener, we love you just as much. Just as much. You're not diminished. You're not an oppressed class in my mind. Not even a little bit. I love you so much. Anyway, we've been talking about the He Gets Us campaign.
First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. Church.
So the radio listener would be the Jew, and the podcast audience would be the Gentile.
Look at the committed Sunday morning listener.
There we go. So we've been commenting on the He Gets Us campaign, and we worked through one of their produced advertisements 2 weeks ago, and then last week's show we went through one of their longer form interview based things that you see on their website to show how there's definitely some influence of some leftism. And I used to make a strong distinction years ago. If you listen to old shows of Faith Debate shows, you'll hear me make the distinction. Being theologically liberal and politically liberal aren't the same thing, and I hold by that, but boy, the differences now are very, 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 very hard to articulate. Leftism has become leftism across the board because the leftist church has totally given over to leftist
over
politics.
Over and over, one leads to the other.
Right.
You start going down one path, you end up going down both, and it's inevitable.
So we finished playing the audio of those two segments we wanted to focus on. There were a few others that Daniel was kind of interested in us addressing, but I think thematically they connected a lot of things we talked about the last week, a few shows. But I think some of us might have a little bit more that they want to add just to kind of cinch that up and put a button on it. David, do you have anything you want to say about
Well,
Who Gets Us?
I just think it's there are a few things about the overall He Gets Us campaign. One, I don't think they actually provide any clarity. I think it's very confusing. There's a whole lot of stuff going on, and when they do seem to bring in a scriptural theme or message, I disagree with their take on what the scripture is saying in that way. In that sense, things are out of context, and it's almost like they're trying to, but it's bad eisegesis, right? So they're saying what do we feel, what do we think, and let's pick a piece of scripture and say that it is saying that it is affirming us, right? And that's kind of the whole message of the whole thing. Right.
That's most sermons across the land these days.
There's a bunch of other videos in their website about Jesus is just like us. He is a rebel. He is a refugee. He is born to a teen mom. He is this and he's that. He's like us. But I don't want Jesus to be like me. I want him to be God, because if he's not sovereign God, then what's the point?
If he's like me, he cannot save me.
Well, and that's what Paul said, right? In 1 Corinthians. Is if Christ is not raised, if Christ is not God himself, then our teaching is in vain. You are being baptized for a dead person. There is no point. Why are you even doing any of these? Why are you going through the motions to be a Christian, to be in the church? It's pointless, because he is not sovereign God. So either he is or he isn't, but he's not like me.
And it's such a misrepresentation to say he was a refugee. Totally misses the point, because he didn't have to leave the country. He just went to a different province of the Roman Empire.
He did go to Egypt.
Yeah, but that was part of the Roman Empire.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? So it's like going from Maryland to Pennsylvania. You know what I mean?
But Troy, you can't get an abortion in Texas now. You got to go to California.
So I guess they're refugees when they go from Texas to California. I mean, that's a problem. And then positioning him as any sort of idea that he would be a rebel. No, no, no. He was the one who wasn't rebelling. The world received him as rebellious because he wasn't going along with their rebellious ways, but he was the only one who wasn't in rebellion. So right. They're totally missing the point on these things.
I mean, think about this. When Jesus went into the temple and he saw these money changers and everything else, I think he got a pot of water and washed their feet, right? Because that's the culture. And that's what this campaign is saying. That's what we should do. These people are committing sin left and right. And instead of helping them to overcome their sin and to repent and forgive and have eternal happiness with Christ, what we're going to do is wash their feet and say, you're still good people because Jesus still gets you. No, he overturned the tables. He made a whip and whipped them. He actually whipped people.
Now, this theme, this idea of overemphasizing the humanity of Christ is really what they're doing here. Like, he gets us. He's one of us. He's, you know, there was a song not too many years ago about what if God were one of us or something like that, right? Yeah.
Jesus is a soccer star.
Yeah. Well,
would he be a soccer star? Would he?
I'm trying to remember. It's escaping. What you guys? What's it called? Oh, that's right. The Chosen. It's like that, right? I mean, that's the Jesus, Jonathan Rumi, I think is his name or whatever, the guy who plays mm-hmm. the Jesus character. That's the kind of Jesus he's portraying, a Jesus who gets us. He's like us, right? That's one of the failings of that show, not to mention all the other issues that are going on with that, but it's symptomatic of a lot of issues.
The message of Christ is repentance and change your life. But the message of this campaign is not that. It's change Christianity to fit your feelings. That's what they're trying to do. And it's the same thing, you know, going across the culture. It's changing the truth to fit with your feelings. And the truth doesn't really matter, even if it's standing right in the face. Even in movies now, there's really no male superheroes. And Marvel's wondering, why aren't our movies selling now? Well, because all these women are beating up men who are twice their size and just as well trained, and nobody wants to see that because that is not part of who we are, who God made us to be. And they're trying to change men into being weaklings and women to be strong and all this stuff. But that doesn't jive with our nature. It doesn't jive with who God made us. And they're trying to change everything.
Yeah, it's... we talked about this, was it last week or the week before, about the failure of men to step up and be men. And part of the challenge is the tsunami of information that the culture is given by the media, the movies, those sorts of things. The average person doesn't know what a man is anymore. A man's going to be strong and a defender who's going to be a warrior, right? Going to protect what's important, but not according to the movies. The women do that. So what's the man's role? And so you got the last image on that the Jesus Gets Us campaign we did a couple of weeks ago, the last image was this very effeminate looking man. And that's kind of the idea. It's the Hawkeye Pierce from MASH version of masculinity. You know, that's what passes for men these days. And it's a real problem for these so-called Christian movies and TV shows, because some of these...
You mean Klinger from MASH, right?
Well, he's the cross-dresser, but Hawkeye Pierce was like overly sensitive and, you know, make love, not war kind of idea. Okay. You know, but yeah, there was the... Klinger was the cross-dresser. Yeah, he was way ahead of his time. He was a generation ahead of his time on things. But going back to that time, not the Korean War that the TV show was depicting, but when that show was popular was right on the heels of the Jesus Revolution time. There was a movie out last year, The Jesus Revolution, and even that has its problems because it wasn't about a true, well, in some cases it was, but it wasn't ultimately about repentance and a change and a turning. It was about, oh, you want to drop acid and be a hippie freak, you can still do that and be a Christian. And there was enough of that I think is still affecting the church even today.
Yeah, the Jesus Revolution was not something on the scale of the Great Awakening or the Second Great Awakening, which were by and large very positive movements for the church. And I think plenty of people did really get saved in the Jesus Revolution.
I would agree.
But I don't see it historically as having been a movement of mass conversions to true Christianity and to not only conversion but discipleship. Some of those people may have been saved but never grew in their faith because they weren't truly discipled on what it means to be a Christian, to be a follower of Christ. It was just, I got saved, I checked a box, I prayed the prayer, now I'm saved type of thing.
And one and of the things
I would argue the church doesn't know what it means to be a Christian these days. Yeah. They really don't.
Yeah. And one of the things that's dangerous about that movie is it just reinforces. On the whole, the movie was pretty good, and you know, count me as a fan, I guess. But I do want to just these little things, they add up, and if you let the little things go, sometimes you're okay, but sometimes you let the little thing go, and before you know it, you got a whole bunch of pebbles the size of a boulder. And one of the concerns with the Jesus Revolution, it just continues to perpetuate this idea within American Christianity, anyway, of cult of personality. You know, Chuck Smith and, oh my gosh, what was the other guy's? I'm drawing a blank. I was joking about drawing a blank on The Chosen earlier, but now I'm legitimately drawing a blank on the other big personality who is the movie is based on. Oh my gosh, it'll come to me probably when the show's over. But anyway, the whole movie is about what these men accomplished and how they drew and attracted people, and they got a little carried away with their egos and also they depicted some of that, not all of it that they could have, but they depicted some of that. So
Lonnie Frisbee,
thank you. Yeah, thank you. So
I looked it up,
but that's not the message of Christianity. We don't need a whole bunch of Joel Osteens. We don't even need a whole bunch of R.C. Sproul's. Right. What we need are good Christian men to lead their home, to lead their churches, to grow other Christians to be good Christian people who lead in their spheres of influence, to lead their children, to lead in the workplace, whatever. We need a whole bunch of people. We need the body of Christ, not a whole bunch of supposed heads of the church who are mere humans, because Christ is the head. And I think that, unfortunately, the Jesus Revolution movie might reinforce that idea. That, oh, we need some new Lonnie Frisbees to step up and make it different. Yeah, that's fine if we get some of those guys, but that's not how Christianity
starts in the home.
Works, right?
Starts in the home.
It's ground up. It's grassroots. Anyway, have you guys, anybody in this room seen The Sound of Freedom?
Sound of Freedom.
It was a surprise hit last summer, and it was marketed and promoted as a Christian movie, even though it's not overtly Christian. And actually, the guy who I think Tim Ballard is the name of the guy the movie's based upon, supposedly. I don't think he's a Christian. I think he's Mormon. So there's that.
You see a lot of that lately. The Mormon Church specifically, and the Catholic Church to a greater extent, and more obviously, but the Mormon Church very subtly behind the scenes is funding and supporting a lot of these media projects, whether they're on radio or TV or movies or whatever.
Like The Chosen, we mentioned.
The Chosen. Mm-hmm. And The Chosen is supposedly more of a Catholic, but there's Mormon influence as well.
And and speaking of Mormon, there was one other movie I wanted to bring up. Did you guys happen to see Nefarious?
No, I've heard it. You've
heard of it?
We've talked about it.
Nefarious is supposedly a horror film. It's not really a horror film. I think they tried to market it to be hipper and cooler than they really were. But it's kind of a suspense thriller, and it leans in a bit of a horror direction because there's the demonic element that's involved in it and stuff. But it's pretty lame as a horror film, if that's your thing. But did you see it, or you only heard about it?
I only heard about it.
I mean, it's been out for like almost a year, so spoiler alert, you know. But there's a demon-possessed prisoner, and he's interacting with an atheist, and, you know, all sorts of bad things happen with the atheist and that sort of thing. So, but the turning point in the movie, as far as the messaging from a Christian point of view, is now the truth is put forward. Who was the ambassador of truth in the movie?
The demon.
No, although ironically there was some truth coming from the demon, but you know, weird sarcastic kind of a way. Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck is
playing himself, right?
Playing himself. So, yeah, he wasn't acting. He was acting, I guess, but he was Glenn Beck playing Glenn Beck, and everybody watching the movie knows that it's Glenn Beck playing Glenn Beck, and he's the one that has the truth. He's the Christian in the movie. No, he's not. He's a polytheist. He's LDS. He believes in an infinite number of gods. Mormonism has more gods than Hinduism. He is not a Christian, and yet he is the only character that you could point to as an actual supposed Christian in the movie.
There's a really weak pastor, too, right?
Yeah, there's some effeminate, you know, woke person that comes in representing the clergy. But the movie doesn't position that. That person is positioned within the movie as a joke. I mean, not as a
pastors in Hollywood are positioned.
Yeah, but no, positioned as a weak, effeminate, clueless, not truly faithful. So I would, that's good, right? Because that's the majority of the leaderships in the church, and they represented that well. So yeah, they took a false professing leader in the church and portrayed him in the movie as a false professing Christian who's in leadership in the church. Okay, I'm fine with that. But then they take a false professing Christian, if you will, and position him as the one who has the truth. Man, and nobody else, as far as I know, I haven't found anybody talking about this. I'm the only one, now I'm not saying the only one who has, but I mean, I listen to a lot of podcasts, I read a lot of blog posts, I try to pay attention to where the winds are blowing, you know, I try to stay culturally relevant within the church, mostly for this show. I haven't heard anybody mention this but me.
I think the problem is there's so many Christians that are so desperate for finding a way to keep all the cool Hollywood stuff but make it Christian. And when anything comes out that's remotely Christian or supposedly Christian or funded by people who call themselves Christians, they're like, oh, great, this is amazing. The gospel is being proclaimed in Hollywood.
And we can play for dupes.
And we don't even, in many ways, that's worse than an average Hollywood movie, which you can go into the movie and watch and say, okay, yeah, it's a secular movie. There's probably going to be a bunch of bad stuff that I disagree with, but it might have an interesting storyline or a cool moral that I might, you know, or maybe it's going to be funny. They'll tell a few good jokes or whatever. And you're not expecting any Christian message out of it. It's kind of like I've said in the past about college. In many ways, sending your kids to if you send them at all to college, because I think college is overrated, but if they're going to go to a college, in many ways I'd recommend a secular college over a Christian college, because your guard is down at a Christian college, and you're going to get your legs kicked out from under you. You're not expecting some of the really nefarious things that are going to come out of the movie.
I think that the for what it's worth, this is a pastoral note responding to what Dan just said. I hear exactly where you're coming from. I know where your heart is on that. I think I'd just rather have my child go to a school that would at least be trying to supposedly be honoring God, and then just make sure you encourage your children to still have your guard up. They have a little bit less to have to fend off, hopefully, in that, because I mean, it's coming at them from all angles in the secular institutions. I don't know. Or if you know your child well enough and you know that they can handle it, that's one thing, but you better be right, because I know too many parents. They're now, you know, they have children my children's age, and going back, you know, 10 or so years ago, and they were sending their kids. I was like, you're sending them where? I don't know if that's smart. Oh, no, they can handle it. They couldn't handle it. They could not handle it. So if you think they can, got to be right.
So I'll meet you halfway, Troy, and let's just stop going to college altogether. I think that's a mistake for most people.
You know, I will say, depending on what their aspirations are, like if they want to be a medical doctor or something like that, then they have no choice. But yeah, I think
for most professions, it's not needed.
It's way overrated, because most people that they change careers 3, 4, 5, 6 times in their life anyway, and almost none of those careers needed a college degree necessarily to do. So I agree with you on that.
But people get so excited. They're like, oh, this person's on my side because he agrees on XYZ topic. And the Mormons do agree with the mainstream church on a number of topics.
Now, I don't know if I have time.
It's a problem with, you know, because they're not actually with us. Like you said, polytheism.
Yeah, let me see if I can get through this or not. I made some notes. I want to be able to read through this. Hopefully, we've got enough time, I think. Have you guys heard of the sitcom with Danny DeVito? It is called, Little Demon?
No.
You heard about this? So there's an animated horror comedy. Danny DeVito is like the star voice in it. He plays the voice of Satan. And
it's a Disney show, right?
Yeah, Well, yeah, it's funded by Disney. It's part of their panoply of entities they have. So Congressman Mike Johnson from Louisiana, who's now the
Speaker of the House,
he last year said it's clearly an evil show. And it's aired on FX Networks. So you think, oh, it's a Fox show. No, Disney bought FX Networks. So it's a Disney show. And
of course, Disney bought Fox too, though. So they basically own everybody now.
No, well, okay. Yeah. And Hulu. They own Hulu. And the show is streamed on Hulu, by the way. And the website says the series is about a woman and her 13-year-old daughter who are trying to live normal lives, even though Satan is the girl's father and wants custody of her soul. And Johnson said, I couldn't get to the remote fast enough to shield my 11-year-old from the preview. I wonder how many children were exposed to the preview online. How many millions more will tune in to this series that's marketed by Disney? Again, DeVito voices the role of Satan. His daughter, his real-life daughter, Lucy DeVito, plays the daughter of Satan in the show. And her name is Chrissy, and she is the Antichrist, supposedly, in this animated sitcom.
So DeVito, who's like 80 years old, has an 11-year-old daughter?
Yeah, but it's animated, so he's just the voice, right? He's just the voice. Plus, I mean, Satan's ancient, right? He's at least 80 years old, Satan.
Yeah, I just didn't think his daughter would be that young at that age. But you know what? You got Richard Gere with a baby or something like that. So.
No, his daughter actually is like 40.
Now, Johnson said, our job as parents is to guard the hearts and minds of our kids. The culture has been alarmingly dark and desensitized, and this is not a game. Disney and FX have decided to embrace and market what is clearly evil. Stay far from it. And people have talked about, you know, boycotting Disney and all that sort of stuff. And,
good luck.
Yeah, right. I mean, you don't even know what they own to know what the boycott. It's so, I mean, there's seven guys that own everything in the whole world. We don't know who those seven guys are, but they own everything, the seven guys. And so, I mean, free speech and all that, we want to defend that, but we've got to figure out how to navigate this. So what's your, we've got, you know, like two and a half minutes.
Take on this?
What's your take on how we should navigate this? I mean, particularly in the context of Christian nationalism we were talking about recently and stuff too. Where do we come down on this?
I think if Disney makes good stuff, you can watch it. And if they make bad stuff, don't watch that.
That's too simplistic.
if you want to say, what should the government be involved in doing things? Well, I mean, it's blasphemy to say that Satan's good. So, if anybody is doing that, whether it's in public or if they're doing it in a show or whatever, then yeah, that's punishable by death under God's law. So that's my take on that. But is that going to happen in America? No, realistically, not for any near time in the future. So, you know, I just lament that. It's out in the open, you know. 20, 30, 40 years ago, people say, "Oh, you're worshiping Satan." And, no, I'm not. I'm just liberal or whatever. And now they're not even pretending anymore. They're like, "Oh yeah, Satan's a great guy." I mean, one of the popular shows from a few years ago was Lucifer, right? Where Satan became a cop and he was throwing criminals in jail or whatever because he got bored in hell.
Sure.
He's always portrayed as a good guy, a flashy, cool guy, and I don't know what he looks like in this show, but. It's more and more you see that Satanism and worshiping the devil is mainstream in our culture, and that's not a good thing.
Yeah, we're not in a position to force anybody to stop doing this sort of stuff, but I do think we have to be very clear, crystal clear. This is bad. It desensitizes.
It's not a fun game.
People to coarsens our hearts and our consciences about these sorts of things. We think it's just a joke. Satan's not a joke. I mean, most people don't even believe Satan exists. So there's that. Satan's real, and he's dangerous, and he is powerful. He's not more powerful than God. It's not an equal fight, and God does win in the end. We know that. But still, we've got to protect not just our kids from this, because it's marketed actually to adults, in fairness, and it airs on FX, I think, at 10 o'clock at night, so it's supposed to be for adults, but it's streamed on Hulu, so kids are going to see a cartoon. They're going to want to watch it.
But what is marketed to kids that desensitizes them to evil is Halloween.
Oh yeah, that's another good example.
So
yeah.
So it's not just like these one-off things, right? That you know, that the big bad media conglomerates are producing. It's everyday things that people do and make a part of their lives that turn themselves away from God.
So David, are you saying that this is a multi-pronged attack on Christianity?
Probably by Satan.
And it's
the real Satan.
You know, and when I was a whippersnapper, and Imran could probably vouch for this, Halloween was a thing, but not like now. I mean, you had some people put up some spooky decorations around their front door, and maybe they'd hang something to make it look like spider webs in their trees or something. And that was about as far as it went. And the houses that did that were few and far between. Now, some of the stuff you see in people's yards, it rivals what you see in December for, you know, what's supposed to be the Advent of Christ.
Yeah, for sure.
It doesn't rival. It's much, much greater than what's in Christmas.
Yeah, depending on the neighborhood, for sure. And it's amazing how that darkness that you're talking about, it's overtaken the culture.
The idea of embracing death, embracing destruction, right? And that is what our culture is doing. You know, through and through and over and over.
Well, that's good because we're on the path to death. We're all killing ourselves. And it used to be we're killing ourselves slowly, but we're on a fast track now to societal suicide.
And times are coming. And times are here.
Oh, well, man.
I'll give you that something is the end times of something is coming for sure.
We're going to, in our next episode, switch, and we're going to talk about an article that made the rounds, a big story out of suburban Chicago about a pastor who ended up leaving his church and did it in a very high-profile way for interesting reasons, and we're going to be talking about that in next week's show. So look forward to talking about that with you guys next week. Imran Razvi, Daniel Razvi, David Forsey, thank you, gentlemen, brothers in Christ all. All of us, again, are pastors in the area, and if you're interested in connecting with one of the churches, you can reach out to me. That might be the easiest way to connect, or you can go straight to the Razvi's website, which is conqueredbylove.org. The church's website that I'm with is householdoffaithinchrist.com, and of course the radio station's website is wfmd.com. We'll be back next week to continue our conversation here on the Faith Debate. As long as they keep letting us come back, we'll keep showing up. You know, it's like a habit at this point. You know, anyway, thanks so much for making us part of your day. We really do truly appreciate it. Till next week, 167 and a half hours from now, God bless.
Past editions of this program are available in the audio vault at WFMD.com.